Blog Talk Radio.
I feel like Brian can cut off about 20 seconds of that.
He just was really happy. We got him that guitar for his birthday, and he's had a really good time.
Going at it. Yeah, as amazing. I've said already, everybody, this is the visitor section. That's Mike Irwin. I'm Poe Enon. Poe Enon. From here on out, I am Poe Enon.
Coral.
No, Coral. You pipe down with that. What?
So this week on the visitor section,
Brian, you still have. What are you playing in the background?
I don't know.
He's just touching buttons because I can't hear anything.
That's okay. I appreciate that he stuck with us.
Nothing but class here.
These hard times at the visitor section.
No, there's no hard times.
I feel like.
Thanks for joining us again, everyone. If you joined and clicked on our podcast again. You are a brave soul. You are a very nice young people.
Mm-hmm. Or, you might be fans of The Walking Dead. You might be.
No matter your age. No, I'm done with The Walking Dead, dude.
That was
the episode. And this not this past one. The one previous.
Okay.
I can't even keep up. I'm done with it. I'm done with the show.
The thing is, you're not allowed to be.
Yeah, I am. I'm quitting. That was it. Like, I stopped midway through last season's, and then I picked it back. You know, I finished watching it, and then this past episode, no, I'm done. I am done. That's it. I'm walking away with my head held high with a huge middle finger pointing at that show.
I don't think that's an option.
It's like, terrible. It's a terrible show. We knew it was terrible.
Yeah, but that doesn't matter. Like, that's
it does matter. It bad TV should matter to you. And it's not like one of those, like, you know, ironic that it's bad.
Mm-hmm.
It's bad. It's very bad.
I just feel that, Josh, once you're in the Yakuza, you can't get out. It doesn't matter.
Blood in, blood out, you say?
Yeah, pretty much. So you're basically in it until we say you're not, Josh. That being said,
it's not good TV, man.
Tell me.
It's been a good two. I had two seasons out of that. The first one and the second
one. We could do better. What can we do better?
Quitting, killing off everyone and ending the show.
That's
how you end it.
No.
Good shows end early. They don't need to keep dragging on. Going to another new place and having it blow up in your face and having another super evil villain trying to take over something. It's ridiculous. I don't need to rehash what somebody else has already said, but they have done, like, I think Honest Trailers has done it.
I was about to say, this feels a lot like an Honest Trailer I watched today.
Yeah, they've done it. They've perfected how shitty The Walking Dead is. And if you are still a fan after that, I commend you, but I still turn my nose up at you at the same time.
So, Josh, I'm going to tell you right now, I don't really know what season we're on.
There's no spoilers this episode. You've already seen, if you're an episode ahead, you're okay. You're safe. So fucking email us. You're crying. Don't email tears. I don't want to see them. I got a fax of tears the other day. Somebody put their face on a copy machine and they're just smashed, but you could see their tears. Sad.
Episode one of whatever we're calling this season. I don't know if it's half a season or if we're like 4.2.
The one that everybody's like, oh, you're that guy who doesn't like this one. This was the best one yet. I'm like, because it was filled with fluff? I'm sorry I like acting. I'm sorry I like an actual story that goes with the characters that, you know, that goes with everything that's supposed to be, you know, like a good show is supposed to do.
So there was a minute when I'm watching this episode 14BA or whatever we're calling it.
Yeah.
where
I don't like that we separate the two, like mid season. I don't like that.
Now, if you're a Game of Thrones fan, you might understand. You might understand.
Why can't you have the whole season and like why? Why is it happening?
Well, I guess what I was going to refer to is the Red Wedding episode. It's what I commonly that is my
that's
vector.
That's when everybody started to watch it.
Well, that's
just
that's
so
my,
they could say this.
That's my measurement for what PTSD on TV looks like.
Well, for you
and,
now, but that
yeah.
wasn't cable though. Well, I guess this isn't cable either. I guess it's cable.
So there's that sliding scale, right? So
Nobody
anytime
can tell
we
us what that
we,
is.
We get near the Red Wedding episode, that level of trauma, then I kind of freak out. And there was a minute there during The Walking Dead, this 14 AB or BA, where I didn't feel good, Josh. And I know apparently you're checked out on it, and I understand that because it, you know, we do a lot of walking, and we do seem to find a lot of homes that burst into flames, and we haven't
Lots
killed
of walking.
Haven't killed a good character or a popular character for probably three seasons. But at the same time, like, I think there was a moment where they were, like, that little whiny baby kid was just like, I can do it, mama. And then he just gets eaten. And then she freaks out. And I actually liked her, kind of. I think maybe. And,
no, there was huge inconsistencies. So the last season's finale, you don't... There was no consistency. You remember it was like, mama, mama. And then this one, they acted like he never said that.
Yeah, that, I mean.
What?
You got
I
the
miss
feeling.
Something?
At the end episode, you're right, where it's like, mama. And then you expect
yeah,
you
it. Cut it. And then it cuts like, that's what happened. That big, what's going to happen to them so we can fucking wait 3 or 4 months?
Yeah, I didn't. There were a lot of things I didn't understand, like, where they were going or what they thought they were doing or I mean any bit of that. I think I was comfortable with the kid shooting Carl in the face. Wasn't so comfortable with Carl not dying from getting shot in the face. There was just a lot of inconsistency. I'll agree with you on that.
That was huge. Should he be dead?
Should he be dead? Probably. But you know, after episode 14 BA, I looked to myself and I said, Mike, I hope Carl's not dead. It's the first time I've said that in like 112 seasons.
Why would you
of the Walking
say
Dead.
That?
I don't know. And you know what? My wish came true, Josh, because in episode 14 BA2, Carl wasn't dead. And 2 weeks later, apparently he's fine. He's walking around. He's got a little eye patch, but you know, he's working that out. He's playing ball with himself. He's trying to get his depth perception back. You have to respect that. Carl's not a quitter. Not a quitter, Carl. So
I think
I
his
know.
Dad was a pansy.
Yeah,
that I whole just, thing, which is very out of character.
Yeah, I think anytime, I don't know about your parents at home, fellow listeners, but I would imagine if any one of them had just killed like 572 zombies in the last week and a half, you wouldn't be thinking they were pansy. I don't care how they did it, but Carl, you know, He's come around. He's grown on me a little bit. He's kind of been the. I think what we needed was.
He's
needed
like what now? 25 on the show.
Yeah, he's like, you know, he's like that that kid that just won't quit. He's aged like 15 years. I don't even know how long this season is supposed to have taken, like in real world time. Like someone the other day told me it's only been 2 years in the Walking Dead world. And that just isn't possible. Like, it doesn't feel that way. Like, how can you have a new home every 2.5 weeks? Because we were on the farm for, like, 7 months, and that was awful.
He was supposed to die then.
Yeah. You know,
you didn't want him to die then?
No, I
you
did.
You wanted him to die back when I was on the farm.
Which
would have been great, actually, because that would have made way for the baby to grow up and take Carl's place.
Yeah,
you could have named her Coral.
Coral. I do agree that during the most of the farm season, I used to just at the end of every episode, I would just take a knee and say a little Tim Tebow prayer and just ask for deliverance and just say, please take Carl off this TV show.
All right,
I don't care how you do it.
We're going to have to wrap this Walking Dead segment.
No, I refuse to, Josh. I haven't given up.
Because the next thing that's coming out of my mouth is a stupid fucking rocket launcher.
First of all, Josh,
if this isn't jumping the shark, I don't know what is. I wish that website was back to the original thing so I can get on there and mean type up that this episode right here jumps the shark. In it's beyond it. I think I'm using that term correctly. When you pull out a rocket launcher to light a lake of fire, river of fire, whatever's going on, river of gas, you could just easily, like, you could have been like, you could have lit a cigar and acted all cool, you know, and flicked it and had the camera following the cigar as it's going end over end and it splashed down and it engulfs all the zombies. No, fuck it. I'll just pull out a rocket launcher, these precious, precious ammo to the rocket launchers. And just annihilate everyone with that, because that's going to – I don't even know how that starts – like, sets it off, because once it hits the water, you're not guaranteed for it to spark.
No,
that could just go – you know, like a torpedo.
I mean, I feel like at the beginning of the episode, they used the rocket launcher very effectively, just blowing up six or seven biker enemies that I really didn't want to get to know and I didn't care their backstories. Yeah. I like that. I appreciate that. Thank you. But you're right. Lighting a river of fire for something I didn't...
River of gas.
I really didn't understand that whole thing because suddenly the zombies are just like, oh, that looks cool. Let's go over there and get stabbed in the back of the head. Like, we don't want to eat people anymore. We really just want to go check out that fire over there. Like,
I wish The Talking Dead would be this, where it talks about how shitty the writing is and how shitty the decisions that are made to make episodes.
Well, but then you wouldn't be able to, like, shoehorn Michonne into storylines and find people to love her. Like, I find her completely worthless on the show. And
yeah,
I'm
remember
not
the build-up? Everybody's, oh, Michonne's so badass. And I'm like, I don't even care. I don't even care.
When she was brooding and she had two little zombie guys that she carried around with her, that was a little bit different than, like, someone who just really wants to talk it out. Like, I'm past that. Like, I think we're okay. But you're right. I think that the show has gotten to a point where it's not terribly interesting week to week. And there are those who follow the comic books specifically and go, okay, now this is what needs to happen next. And I just don't think AMC is really in the mood to go down that line. I feel like they can milk this for several more seasons if they really
want
to.
And that's what they want. They wanted to last forever on nothing. Oh, let's have a spin-off show that sucks and it's completely boring. There is nothing about this. Like season should only last four, and that's it. Maybe four tops. Three is where the sweet spot is. So, True Detective, you're on notice. Whatever you're doing, this is your last season.
It's about to get really bad, Josh.
Yeah,
they're just going to walk around. They're just going to walk.
Unless you're one of those shows that, like, you know, you can... If you're like a WB... I can't stand WB TV, but... they do what they do well. I'll give them that. I'm not going to just completely bash. I mean, Flash and Arrow, I don't like those shows. But those people who do, I'm, like, jealous that they like that show so much. And I get a little excited for them just in their own excitement, if that makes any sense. I don't like the shows. They're very all the same. They're all Smallville.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's true. It's like watching a show on USA. Like, all shows on USA look like they were shot for USA.
No, not Mr. Robot.
Mm-hmm.
I can't believe I downloaded that app just to watch that show.
It doesn't feel a little burn notice-y to you?
No, there's no burn notice.
Maybe a monk, Gary Sinise.
If he shows up, hi, I'm Gary Sinise. Settle down, Gary. That guy had a very weird commercial the other day. Just gave me the creeps the rest of the day. Hi, I'm Gary Sinise.
So have you had an opportunity to watch Z Nation?
You told me about it. I watched a couple episodes. That is a show that's ironically bad.
Yeah, no, I think it's like...
very bad.
If you took... I don't want to say The Walking Dead because it's not fair. If you take a zombie show, we'll just call it a zombie show, and you made it like they make the majority of those made for sci-fi movies.
Mm-hmm.
So like pterodactyl or space bears, or I don't know, add two words together and make a movie about it. That's kind of what you get from Z Nation. I think that the first season wasn't exactly my favorite, but I sat through it because, as we've established with The Walking Dead, there's not always a lot of breadth and when you talk about zombie entertainment. And so when I get any, I just consume it, whether it's garbage or not. But by season two, I think they've kind of found a nice rhythm where it was just like, yeah, we're just going to do everything you kind of wish everyone else would do. And we're not going to do it wonderfully, but it's going to be fun. Mm-hmm. And at least we're going to have fun doing it. And I've appreciated that about the show. It's not complicated. It's not, like I say, the storylines are like whatever. It's kind of like whatever they feel like doing this week. Like, yeah, I've got a bear left over from the sci-fi movie last week. You guys want to use that thing? Yeah, let's just make it a zombie. Like, that's fine. Just do that. So I recommend that people like skip season one and just jump into two and three.
I think for me to tell our audiences, I'm a zombied out. Now I've played the Evil Within, which is the successor from the guy who made Resident Evil. Mike, you would have loved watching me play this game.
I would have mapped the hell out of that for you.
Yeah, you enjoyed. I think you would have enjoyed that. It reminds me of a lot of those times playing Resident Evil. But I personally am zombied the fuck out. I can't take anymore. So then what did I do? I doubled down and went and got the Dying Light. I played that. I can't do it anymore. It's like, I think somebody told me once, when people are tired of slow zombies, they'll throw in fast ones at you. And then when you're tired of fast ones, they'll bring back the slow ones. I am zombied out. I can't do anything more zombie. There is nothing more tiresome a franchise or setting than apocalyptic zombie world. Z Nation was like the pinnacle of how shitty that, or not Z Nation, I'm sorry. What was that movie? World War Z. Sorry, you were talking about Z Nation. It stuck in my head, but I don't.
No, it's okay. And I would strike then. And I would argue that that piece of crap movie isn't a zombie movie. It's a plague movie.
Yeah.
It's the same thing I have with like 28 days. I know there's people who are going to start getting.
Okay, now I understand that the 28 days thing. So World War Z is they're not zombies.
I mean, I'm not.
They
saying
don't die and they come reanimated.
Right. It seems like it's more of an illness, right?
Whereas
like
28 days later, something drops in my eye. I'm now.
I got that blood. I got that shit in me. Like yeah. Those seem like plague movies, and I think what's scary about those movies are that are a lot more realistic than say. When you die, you become a zombie. Like, I think...
See, that's another part of The Walking Dead's its consistency of, it's already in us all.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Like,
well, and I would,
make
I would,
up mind, what, if it's already in you, what does it matter if you get bit? Unless you don't get bit in the neck. If you get bit in the arm, leg, whatever, what does it matter? I don't understand. Like, if it's already in you, a arm bite is not going to kill you. What I got some Komodo dragon saliva. What is going on?
I don't know. Maybe. But I think that...
We still don't know what the guy said at the CDC. Was it just that everybody's infected?
Yeah, I think so. I think that's all he had to say. Because at that point, that hadn't been established. But I think if you're tired of zombie stuff just because like you get two options, you get slow or fast, I think that's what I've enjoyed about Z Nation is that like... You get all kinds of random crap. Like, just, you know, oh, these people got hit by the nuke, so they're these kind of zombies. This is a redneck zombie, and this is a hillbilly zombie, and this is, you know, like a Mexican gang member zombie. And, you know, like, they're just kind of, like, all over, and they don't really care. Like, there's not really, like, these rules hard and fast. But, yeah, I don't know, man. I still enjoy the zombie genre, obviously. I still hold out hope and get excited when The Walking Dead's on. And sometimes I'll sit there and kind of wonder if I can get that hour back. Like, if I wrote AMC, would they give me, you know, like 30 minutes of my life just in refund? But I don't know. It's too early, Josh.
Remember when AMC's sitting there, like, holding out, like, how great of content they have? And then, you know, the Breaking Bad disappears.
Mm-hmm.
You know? This is like... Well, why the hell were they holding out? I mean, their material is not that great.
I think maybe, again, it really comes down to comparison. It's like Carl in episode or season 14BA, in that if you put Carl next to a bunch of other shitty kids, suddenly Carl doesn't look so bad. And I think that...
Well, they're shitty kids because they're terribly written. You don't care about them. Like, characters on the show now are just toilet paper. Sit there and wipe your ass with them, and then that's that.
When AMC was pointing to themselves and saying, look, we have Mad Men, we have Breaking Bad, and we have, we have this new show called The Walking Dead.
Yeah. That nobody watches.
Yeah, so we have all these shows. It was during a time when all the other kids in the room were shitty. And so,
you had characters that people liked.
Yeah, and at the time, they were doing things that weren't being done.
Shane and Rick build-up, that was cool. You had Carl, who didn't, he was basically nobody. And then you had, the whore mom.
Yeah, I hated Lori. But I really honestly hated everybody.
She's not
everybody.
A whore. She just thought her husband was dead, and she's fucked his best friend. I mean, whatever.
It was only like 2 weeks into the Armageddon or something. I don't know. It was really
weird. Like, your husband's in a coma, and you're just already moved on.
Seemed quick.
So is that Shane's baby?
Who knows?
I don't know.
I like to think.
Mike, women have a right to choose that. Whether it's a day, an hour, 2 weeks, whatever.
No, that's fair. You get to choose Rick, or you get to choose Shane, but,
Speaking, transitioning out.
Uh-huh. Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
I'm going to call this the Peyton Manning segmental.
This is the part where I go get a glass of water.
You could.
No, I don't want to do that. I
mean, at this point, we can all say that we've heard enough of Peyton Manning's 20-year-old case of an alleged sexual harassment or sexual assault, depending on which chapter and verse you believe, Mike. I can present you with all the certainties from both sides. We can talk about Peyton Manning's book depictions, Archie Manning, Peyton's father's entanglement into the situation. Talk about the leadership at the time of Tennessee's lack of involvement. We talk about this notion that the media ignored it, which all evidence would point to that they didn't ignore it. They didn't really miss it. I mean, it was just what that story was, very probably vague, and what somebody tried to cover up. Now, that would be on Archie. I don't think the media just turned a blind eye to this, oh, gee, sucks, guy. We can talk to conspiracy for a cover-up, or,
Josh, these are big, fancy words.
Or machination against Peyton Manning. We could talk about it. We could argue if it was a teabag or whether he was Mooney. None of those statements from any of those conversations, Mike, would change anything you have in your mind about Peyton Manning right now or what has transpired. None of those. We could talk about everything that's happened. We could talk about Clay Travis's argument for Peyton Manning. You could talk about the other guy who was the ex-member of Black Lives Matter movement, who wrote a piece, a very terrible piece, for some New York shitty outlet. I don't even know if they're a paper anymore. But we're giving these present judgments on a person who did an immature act at the age of 20, an event that, both parties settled and let go, Mike. They both settled and let go. Now, granted, Peyton kept bringing it up several times. But I think, my question is, through all that bullshit, why are we digging this up and using it as a shitty analogy so we can all feel better for Cam Newton? Or we're making it about race? Or now are we to the point where it's about women's rights?
Well, it's weird because I didn't get any of that from the story. I felt like... I mean, no, I honestly, let's just assume, to be pretty crass for a minute, that Peyton Manning put his balls on somebody's face. That's what this boils down to. Well, and this said thing happened, or may not have happened, 20-plus years ago.
Okay.
I don't understand, first of all, why this is being brought up post-Super Bowl. I mean, the Super Bowl. I don't think
it's
that's
so
why
we can
up.
All feel better about Cam. It was according to the author of that shitty ass article and that shitty ass outlet. I wouldn't even call it a newspaper anymore. He says that Peyton Manning's a fraudulent, fake person. It's built on a facade, a hero without limitations, a 6'12" laser arm. In comparison, some people believe Cam's a spoiled brat and of a bad guy that nobody likes. Nobody likes his celebration. Nobody respects him. But here's the thing, man. People hated Peyton Manning in the height of his popularity. And people love Cam Newton right now in his ascension to his popularity.
Yeah, those are two very different paths because there. I mean, for folks who remember back in the day when the AFC East contained the Colts, like the Jets saw Peyton Manning twice a year, and I hated those games. I hate watching Peyton Manning play football. He's slower than watching grass grow. It's 40 seconds at the line all the time.
That was so bad. I remember those like check downs, those line up, the check man at the line of scrimmage. Those were terrible games.
I mean, all the time. And it would go on and on and on. And we'd have to hear about, oh, he's a football genius. Oh, he's one of the greatest players that's ever played the game. And I'll tell you what the turning point was. Is when he went on Saturday Night Live and suddenly we realized that he's a person. And I think since that point, he also matured and he got to an age where as his ability started to decline and then you start talking about the neck injury and coming back from that and playing even though he probably shouldn't have and looking like Tim Tebow and somehow just gutting it out week in and week out and people still magically rallying behind him. It's a different dynamic than it was when it was like 96 and you just had to face them twice and you know, curse for three straight hours.
I mean, there was people that hated Peyton Manning.
Oh yeah. I mean, you know,
but for me, I heard about this prank or whatever. I mean, you know what happened, but the only thing that ever mattered to me about Peyton Manning, the only thing that ever mattered to me, and it still is to this day, is remember, he could not beat Florida, and he didn't win the Heisman. He didn't win no national championship, and he didn't do anything. He was a great prospect. Went to the NFL, and, you know, probably one of the greatest. One of the greatest. Not the greatest, but one of the greatest quarterbacks. And that's that. Doesn't mean that off the field he could be something else. You know, all that matters to you as a sports fan is who he is there. And then remove the rest, because we've talked about it and we preach on the show all the time about how you need to remove that social parameter that you have for sports and throw that shit in the trash can, because there is no place for it here. If you like sports and want to get away from reality, get away from this idea that the people you like on your favorite sport are any good of a person outside of that. They're not.
I mean, and I think we prove that day in and day out. And it's not to say that all athletes are dumb or they do these awful things.
Not all of them, obviously. There's just a very select few.
Yeah, the vast majority don't. And we don't talk about them because they don't have any storylines. But the ones that do, you know, I think if you're going to get upset about some sort of sexual issue, I don't know if Peyton Manning's the guy I'm going to look at. I'm going to start with Ben Roethlisberger.
Well, there's
That's where I'm going to start.
Okay, even for his case, okay? And we've bashed him enough for it.
Yeah, I don't think you can ever bash enough. I think that somehow we've even gotten to a point.
I'm waiting for that Ben Roethlisberger article.
Yeah, well, you know what? Maybe when he loses a Super Bowl. I just don't
I mean,
get
why
it.
Wasn't this brought up in Peyton Manning's previous Super Bowl? Like, latest,
I don't know.
Or the one prior when he played the Seahawks.
And I think that's what really caught me off guard was when it was released. I was like,
everybody knew.
The thing was, I didn't.
Oh, okay.
I didn't know about it.
Well, then people were talking about the 74-page document of the court. You know, this court documents, as if those are the truth. By the way, it's just writing. It's just whose side and their point of view. It's not the damn truth.
I felt like it didn't make any sense. I didn't understand why we were rehashing this thing that happened 20 years later for a thing that
I'm telling you, it's because you have Cam Newton who's blasted all over and we're looking at everybody, you know, telling you how it's a black and white world. Well, I'm telling you it's not. It's gray. We live in the gray matter. And you could sit here and say that, you know, maybe Peyton Manning's a piece of shit, but you can't sit here in the same breath say Peyton Manning's a piece of shit and then celebrate Kobe Bryant. You just can't do that kind of shit. It's just not going to work with me.
Well, I think that you made some really good points
about
Cam Newton last week when we were talking, and that, I mean, how do you think this guy is going to, who just lost the Super Bowl?
Yeah.
Like, I've been told that if you're an NFL player, that's the pinnacle of your career.
Right.
So just imagine getting to the pinnacle of your career and losing in that fashion. And then someone sticking a microphone in your face and you want to have a conversation. What do you think you're going to talk about? Oh, the weather was nice. I enjoyed the weather. Nothing else about that game was good.
If Cam Newton was in the Panthers, I should just say, if the Panthers lost by, like, let's say, a point, or they were in the game, they just – they lost because of, you know, like a San Antonio Holmes event where he tiptoes, you know, where it's just – it's crushing, yes, but you could sit there and say, damn, we did great. But if you go out there and you're the Panthers, you get demoralized and just beat up and down, and you have Von Miller and DeMarcus Ware tearing you apart. I think I would rather lose very close, hands over fists, any other time.
Yeah,
that way versus getting my ass embarrassed in front of millions of people.
I mean,
maybe
if you're
billions. I don't know.
If you're the San Diego Chargers and you're hanging out with the 49ers that day, I bet no one's walking up to you after the game with a microphone and saying, "Hey, how do you feel? You feel good?
Feel great.
No, you don't. You don't feel good. That's
see,
weird."
That's the thing about Cam. Everybody was expecting what he was going to do.
Well, yeah, I mean, but he brings that upon himself as much as anything else. And I, but again, I'm not surprised that he wasn't happy after the Super Bowl.
No, like, I don't think anybody would be.
Every author, every writer, every journalist who wants to suddenly draw some sort of conclusion about what kind of person that makes Cam Newton, just fuck off. Like, it's not fair. It's not fair to anybody. It wouldn't be fair if it was your kid who's literally like 7 years old who just like struck out at home plate.
Yeah.
And it's not fair for this kid who just lost the Super Bowl. And again, or, not even really his fault.
And a lot of people bring up this InfoPic meme. Rather. Of, you know, how Peyton Manning didn't shake hands when he lost the Super Bowl. You know, to the Saints.
I wouldn't want to shake anybody's hand either. I'd want to go home. I want to go get some Budweiser's.
Budweiser's.
I definitely wouldn't want to hang out with 50 or 60 strangers with microphones and tape recorders. Like, definitely that's not how I would want to do it.
I feel like there's a lot of media people that just love to hang on these terrible analogies so they can get clicks, so they can get that ad revenue, unless you have the ad blocker.
I know. This new...
I think ad blocker has seriously caused a problem with a lot of people, and it sucks. But
I'm trying out this uBlock Origin. I heard it's pretty good.
I really wish you wouldn't use it. I mean, okay, here's the problem I have with ad blockers and anything of that nature. And I understand.
You have a problem with ad blockers?
I do.
Love of God, Josh.
Because everybody thinks shit is free. Like, content is not free. Now, I want you to sit back and just understand. I was in your position. I was a staunch ad blocker advocate. I would use it all the time. But I realized that the content that I was enjoying totally for free was paid for through them. And when you use that kind of shit, and a lot of people are picking up on it,
okay,
so it takes away from that person who creates that content for you to enjoy freely. Those ads are not that long, and they're not that obnoxious. They're probably like 1-to-1 ratio, one shitty ad for every view that you're on there. It's not that bad. It's not like these ads are going to give you a virus either. It's happened one time in the history of the internet.
Sat on that toilet seat.
Got STDs. Oh, my God.
Yeah, I just... Okay, so...
I'm sorry, but I have flipped. I was all the way with you, okay?
So, Josh,
flipped and went the other direction. Say, I have to turn... I got rid of all ad blockers just so I can feel better about myself.
Well, see, I keep it now, and I'm gonna talk for a second for Brian. Okay. So, say in Brian's instance, the things it sounds like you're worried about are, I don't know, like maybe you're watching YouTube videos or maybe a sporting event or something along those lines, something legitimate, right?
Right.
If you have something like Brian,
I know where I'm going with this,
where maybe he's watching adult entertainment on the internet or the interwebs, maybe
so that's why ad blocker was made.
Maybe he's catching up on the latest episode of The Walking Dead because God knows Brian doesn't have TV. Like, those things have been established.
Illegally streaming places.
Watching it on internet for free. Now, Brian might argue, I think you would argue this, Brian, that people who are maybe not in the instance of porn, but in the instance of watching the latest episode of the Visitor section's favorite TV show, The Walking Dead,
right,
that those ads that are on those sites are making money off of someone else's product.
Yeah, which and is so, bad.
And so by using an ad blocker, we're actually... Or sorry, Brian.
Okay, but if you're watching something that is there illegally, you have to question yourself: where's that content? How is that paid for? That was paid for by somebody
but
else.
Say, let's pretend. Let's go a little deeper and pretend that Brian has a girlfriend.
Okay.
And he walks over to girlfriend's house, mm-hmm. girlfriend of Brian's house, and she has AMC playing.
Yeah.
Down and he watches it.
Right, that's fine.
Does he
suddenly, paid for it?
Well, maybe she lives in an apartment complex that pays for it. But she didn't pay for it.
Somebody's paying
specifically
for that content.
Like, does Brian need to write a check for AMC for?
No. It doesn't work like that. It doesn't technically work like that. All I'm saying, man, is when it comes to the internet, this is where it is. We can't use television. analogy here for this. All I'm saying is, if you want to go to subscription base,
mm-hmm.
and that way you can get rid of all ads for whatever content you want, that's one direction. If you want to go another direction, you could say, hey guys, I can give this to you all for free, but you're just going to have like one ad in the way. People do this shit all the time with those terrible ass video games for your mobile device.
Yeah.
How hard is it to hit X?
Well, okay, so...
Now, legit websites all know that you don't want to see a bunch of ads, so they try to limit it, the ratio 1-to-1. Now, this is some, like, I'm pulling back the curtain for a lot of people. Maybe you're not privy to this kind of stuff.
Internet ads? What?
I know it's crazy to hear me talk about the
promotion. My social security number is...
No, there's no more of those annoying pop-up, like, flash. Ads anymore.
Are you a girl or a boy?
Shitty ass, you know, like it's like you know, what do they got out there? I'm sure there's like a H&R Block one, mm-hmm. you know.
It's always porn. Let's just assume it's always porn. But
CISO, maybe one of those.
So the thing I will argue that I agree with is that, and this is just for me because God knows Brian didn't do this. This is all Mike Irwin, unfortunately. There was a point in time in college when the internet came around, and I'm not that old, but you could stream radio for the Jets. Now, I would pay him like $8 a month or whatever it was just to listen to the Jets radio through the internet for the game. But then there started, like, I moved to Austin. People showed me the secret world of, you know, streaming sports games on the internet.
So you were corrupted.
Right. And so I would watch these bootleg Jet games that were...
That's not good. I mean,
no,
I understand.
No, I'm getting
what
there.
You gotta do.
I'm getting there. So I would watch these games that were like in French, but it was the Jets, and so I still watch them. But those feeds were shitty. They were inconsistent. They were full of ads.
Right, so you got what you paid for, is what you're
right.
saying.
And so...
Nothing.
But I would watch soccer the same way. And then as time went by, like Fox Sports Go, they ran a special. I could get all the Bundesliga. I could get like the FA Cup, stuff like that, like all the Women's World Cup. I could watch it for like $100 for an entire year. So I did it. Then I got a login to NBC Extra Time, and I can watch all of the EPL games. And the quality is amazing. Like, they're beautiful. The streams are perfect. And so I don't mind paying for content when the content's good.
Yeah.
And I think maybe that speaks more to our generation as a whole. Like, I think we would all want to pay $90 for cable if we got to pick the 112 channels and you get.
Yeah, which is why streaming now is the popular choice. You Netflix, your Hulus, and... Mm-hmm. And whatnot. I'm sure cable companies fucking hate Hulu right now, or whatever other app there is. You know, even HBO going with their own app to stream just HBO. I'm sure cable companies just are loving that.
Well, but I think I think HBO was right. I think that there's obviously they were losing revenue because people want to watch Game of Thrones. Let's just use that as an example. You're going to find a way to watch it. You're going to be like a Brian, and you're going to get online to one of the stream services. You know, if you don't have an HBO Go account, or you're going to find someone who has one, and you're going to watch it through that. At least they are offering you an option where you can do it like legally and easy. And I think that, you know, Showtime's gotten in that game. Obviously, you've got Hulu, you've got Netflix, you've got a bunch of other kind of like shitty side services. But I think what's been interesting, especially with the NBC Sports package and being able to watch the soccer, is that I now expect that I should be able to do that for all of the stations. And someone the other day was like, hey, are you going to be able to watch that Jets game? I'm like, well, man, it's on CBS. And they're like, well, can't you stream that? And I was like, of course I can't stream that. Like, CBS is like from the dark ages. They're like from 1946. Like, they're never going to pull their shit together and make this happen for me. They're the only company I don't have any faith in whatsoever when it comes to this technology. But I think as we move closer and closer towards this, like, it's a good thing. It's a good thing to be able to stream what you want.
Yeah, what you want.
Yeah, as opposed to pay for a bunch of garbage you never use.
Yeah, like if you have satellite TV or cable, if you're one of those, you know, where you cut the cord, I understand you do what you got to do to watch something. I get that. But, you know, team up. All I would say is team up with people that already have these. You guys can split a subscription, whatever you got to do, do it. But try to do it at least as legitimate as possible. I mean, kind of like remember when, you know, Napster and LimeWire and all them, you know, everybody started to feel guilty after a while. You could download literally any fucking CD, anything you want, right? Totally free. And after a while, they're like, you know, iTunes comes up with this dollar per song. So now you don't have to buy a full shitty album. You can download a dollar a song or whatever was going on, maybe $2.99, whatever you want. And I think people are okay with that route. You know, you got Spotify. And I think they're doing a great thing, you know, where you pay a subscription, you get all this music. You don't have to feel guilty. You can just, you know, you can download it. You can take it offline. You don't have to hit the little, you know, download and hit offline. You have to check in once a month. And that's yours. I mean, you don't get to keep it, but are you keeping it? Is this CDs?
Yeah, I know. It's.
Where's all your CDs, Mike? You still got them somewhere?
Well, the thing is, like, I unfortunately do Pandora, which is basically,
yeah.
Hey, you know, did you love the experience of driving down the road and listening to the radio and the 55 commercials they played in a row? Did you want to recreate that at home or at work? Well, now you can with Pandora, free subscription. It's just like, yeah, it's just one commercial after another over and over and over, and then I get the six same songs. It's amazing how close they have built that product.
Radio is, obviously, radio. You know, is – has to be on the way out.
Well, I don't want to...
That whole model is, you know, where you get your local ad, you know, come down to California Tan, you know, that ad,
mm-hmm.
you know?
I think that radio as a genre isn't dead. I think when you look at podcasts, as you look at more streaming content, there's a want for that story to be told, right? Like, that hasn't changed. And I think, you know, audio is still a lot easier. We've obviously have lived through this, but I think it's more in like newspapers and radio are very similar in that the way in which they used to do business is no longer viable. Like, it just isn't. Radio, they pump it into your car. And if they didn't do that, no one would ever listen to it. Like, you don't go home and turn on the radio anymore. Like, that's not going to happen for you. But again, if you can create good content, if you're a radio lab or WNYC and you're pumping out good podcasts, people are going to listen to that. Like, if you're Men in Blazers, you can build that into a TV show. Like, if you're good content, people will find you. And I think that when you look at radio or if you look at the newspaper, it's just,
I mean,
it's worthless. It's just, it's not interesting for people like you and me.
Yeah. And that's why I think podcasting has taken off as well. Even though I know a lot of people don't understand how to even obtain such podcasts.
It's true. It is terribly difficult.
So if you're listening, I don't know how you're listening, but if you are listening, you're still using the streaming route, you can get on your phone. If you have iTunes, you can look us up. You got PodKicker for the Android. You got, what else is there? Stitcher radio app?
I think we're still on there. If you have a Zune, I think we're still on the Zune network somewhere.
I mean, the mobile phone has become amazing, honestly, of what it can do. I think the next generation phone is just getting even more crazier what you can do with it. I mean, hell, they're making VR headsets for these things.
It's funny that you brought that up. I was going to ask you specifically about this tonight.
Okay.
Here
we go.
Last segment. So the thing was, I wasn't bored. I was working hard and I needed a break. And I looked at Best Buy's, you know, deals of the day or whatever,
right.
And I saw something about a VR headset, and I was like, what? And then I looked at it, and it was for, like, a Samsung phone, and I was like, why would I need a headset for my phone? Mm-hmm. And then I Googled into it, and PlayStation 4 is trying to launch a newer version of the VR headset. Tell me what this does, and do I need this? I don't understand what's happening.
Here's what I'll always tell people. I don't think virtual reality we don't know exactly what you can do with it. I think the question you need to ask yourself is, so you buy this, let's say it's $500. Okay, let's just throw that out there. It's $599, maybe $499. So not only do you need to buy a PlayStation 4, you need to buy the headset as well. I'm sure there'll be nice little packages because it'll cost them nothing to do this. But it costs something to make these damn things. But yes, but I mean, to them, they'll take a loss just to get them out there. They have 36 million user base right now. So I think PlayStation will have success with their VR headset. But the question you need to ask yourself is, what content is out there for the thing? Sure, you get a couple games. Is this going to turn into another Kinect where it's forced down your throat? This game's only great unless you have this VR headset. And then it's going to be like, are developers going to want to make video games or make things for that headset? The question I would always tell people is like, no, do not buy into this yet because you don't know anything. You don't know what's going to be made of it. I would pass. Even Microsoft's talking about it with their HoloLens. They just like, we could put it out right now, but people would be like, great, I bought this thing and I can only do 12 things with it. Great. Exciting.
Well, I think then there's a piece of me when I saw it, I was like,
okay, let me ask you another thing. Are you going to want to wear that for any length of time? Are you okay? I mean, 15 minutes, is that enough? Can you game for 3 hours on a regular monitor? Or would you like to wear this headset for 3 hours?
Yeah, I don't know.
Don't think that's something you'd want to do.
I think that this is to go, not to get nerdy, but...
Yeah, I'm totally nerding out.
damn near every sort of additive that a video game console has ever had has failed miserably, short of the Duck Hunt gun.
Oh, I mean, VR?
I don't even mean VR. I just mean any sort of additional attachment. Like if you
peripheral. Yeah, any peripherals is just trash.
Oh, you mean I got to get an attachment for the nunchuck so it becomes a gun? never mind. I'm all right. Or, the Super Scope. That'll be fun.
I think the only thing that did work was the Wii, and it had its little niche. And then everybody's like, okay, so what about the Wii U? And that was just a complete and utter failure. I mean, it's just been trash. There's no reason to buy a Wii U.
If you bought a Wii U,
I don't know what you're doing with it.
You're playing Super Mario Go-Kart, and that's all you're doing with it. It's because your seven-year-old kid loves it. Just loves it.
I'm fine with that. If that's what they want to do, there's some really good titles there. It's all first party.
Yeah, I just
don't
feel
have
like
any third party support.
It's like the most expensive game in the history of man. You bought a system for one game, therefore it's like a $300 game. Like I can't do it.
Talking about all the Mario stuff.
Yeah.
That's the problem with Nintendo. They're sailing into like oblivion, and they don't even realize it. Even when their boss died, they're just like, let's replace him with a guy that's just going to continue this ridiculous. I mean, they're going to come out with a new console, I think, here soon, which I thought was like odd. It's called the NX. Maybe that's what they're going with, but.
No, we've seen it before. If you start adding on extra gadgets, I don't know if it's like video game people in general are lazy, but they're definitely not going to buy a product that only supports two games.
Right, and then you have to think about the development. I mean, if you're a developer, I can make a game like this, or I can make it, or I can try to figure out how to make this like that, you know, and which one's going to be cost effective to my time.
Yep.
I'm not going to sit there and fiddle fuck around with a headset.
Well, and if you're Nintendo and you're starting to just come out with a new system every 2.5 weeks, like, that's not good either, because as a consumer, I don't know which one I'm supposed to buy, and I sure as hell can't buy all of them.
To quote a very smart man, Michael Pachter, the future is in monitors. What I mean by that is the future is gaming, in like putting a graphics card into your TV, and you just, there's no console. It's just on your TV. You know, you have a controller. It's to your TV. There's nothing else to it. There's no console at all. It's just that. Or you can, you know, you can use your phone and link it up to your television and play video games right there. Now, what's holding mobile market back is obviously the memory, all that good shit. You know, you can only hold, what do you got on your phone? 60 gigs, maybe?
Yeah, 150? I can bump that with an SD card.
Right, but really, I mean, a console right now comes to like 500 gigs, maybe even a terabyte. You need to see when your phone's going to get hit to a terabyte.
But the thing is, like, I don't need a terabyte of
well,
memory.
If you're playing video games on it, you should.
The only thing I would need for it is if I had Madden on there and it wanted to autosave everything I did for the until it just fills up. Like, you can't even delete it. You have to get out of Madden to go into your settings so you can delete these 50 autosave things because you did one fantasy draft. Like, it's... like, Madden, that's a terrible idea. At least let me turn off the autosave. Anyway.
Yeah.
But that, even that, and all of the space it eats up, I guarantee it's not more than 20 gigs. Like, so if I wanted to play...
All I'm saying is if you have a game library, it's going to fill up your phone faster. And it uses the memory on your phone to run these great games at a graphical speed that you need it to be.
Yeah, and you know, we start talking processors and you start talking about that kind of shit and the energy it takes to you know, keep frame rate up.
It still bothers the current gen consoles to this day. Like, frame rate, fucking resolution arguments are just stupid. Is the game good? No? Okay, we're moving on. You know?
Well, I tell you, most of the games I play, and I know that no one plays them, but... When you're playing Nobunaga's Ambition, Sphere of Influence, you don't really worry too much about refresh rate because you're just sitting there going, like...
Well, I don't know if that game is any good to you, but...
I like it. I play it a lot. So, but again, it doesn't really... It's not a first-person shooter. Nobody's chasing me. I get to think about my moves before they happen, so...
Yeah, I've kind of... like zombies, I've really just been burnt out of first-person shooters. They're all the fucking same. I know that there's a new, like, a MOBA approach, which is, for those who don't understand the lingo, Battle Arena. So, mm-hmm. An online Battle Arena. A lot of people like it, but it's more of a first-person shooter thing. I'm interested to see where that is. There's, like, a couple games. Overwatch and Battleborn. Overwatch is, like the most popular one, just to get people a little familiar with that. And you can look it up. By the way, fuck YouTube. I think that's what a lot of the problem was happening, too, by the way. People monetizing, stealing other people's stuff, putting it on there, and then monetizing off of that. That's rich. That's rich.
That's PewDiePie, whatever his
name
is.
Dude, that, you know, respect to that guy, but I mean...
No, you don't have to respect a guy who...
I don't understand what that is. I don't honestly understand that... I really don't understand the allure to watching him spaz out over things. But, yeah, kids like weird shit. I don't know. Has V hit the PewDiePie thing, or does she watch weird YouTube videos? Or?
We were watching... There's some sort of animated cat. I forget what his name is. My girlfriend introduced us to him, and we subsequently had to watch about 65 episodes, like, dating back from 07. That was enough. I use YouTube to like supplement her education, or if I want to prove a point, like girls are good at sports, like stuff like that. You know, like then I can go to YouTube and find like visual evidence to back up my point. Short of that, I really would prefer to keep her away from it. Like it's a garbage dump. Like there's some good stuff in there. You know, there's some treasure.
I know people love it. It's just easy. I get it. It's easy. It's fast. But you can find all the original material from like the place that actually produces it at their own website. Now, if they have a shitty player, I understand it doesn't really work. There's a lot of those problems. If there was ever a way to like just get a YouTube type player but not call it YouTube, it'd be great. So YouTube and Google / Google gets to take 30% of off the top. That's fucked.
There was Daily Motion, and I want to say they were a French-based company, but I may just be making that up. Brian was familiar with them for their early work in porn, but I'm familiar with them because they have become mainstream and completely worthless to me, just like YouTube. So,
all right. Well, if anybody's stuck around this long, I appreciate it. Thanks for listening to the visitor section. What we're going to do is probably more content, Mike.
Yeah, no, I think that's a good thing. Oh, more content, no ads, because the blocker is...
No ads at all. I think that's it. Thanks for listening. Again, pass it along. Look us up. Go to at visitors section. Follow us on Twitter.
Oh, God. You should do something with those.
You should do something with those.
No, I don't have time for
that. I am at Entity of None. If you can figure that out, good for you.
I'll put a link to his profile.
Yeah, you've got the old one on there. It's funny because I think the guy loves NASCAR and some other weird shit like real estate. I don't know. It's weird.
Oh,
seeing my name by other people do stuff.
That's funny. That's pretty cool. I'll just link all of the Josh Hastings.
If you want to pay us like a tip jar thing, figure that out. We might figure that out for you guys. But you don't have to. There is no reason. You do not have to. But if you feel like you do, hey, we're not going to turn you down.
Interesting idea.
Patreon.